Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, let's jump into our passage of scripture. It's amazing. We've already started our journey, and it's only really been just a few short weeks of us learning who we are in Jesus, right? It's been amazing, so reassuring. This position that you and I have because we are in Jesus Christ is literally the best place you and I could possibly be. It's just an amazing thing. We're discovering already that Jesus provides, through just simple faith and trust in Him, that Jesus provides all kinds of things for us because of that. Just in the aspect of salvation that we've already looked at, the different relationships that you and I have because of who we are in Jesus, and how that salvation brings about, makes possible those relationships, has been an interesting thing to see. For example, because you and I are in Jesus, we are openly welcomed into the presence of the King of Kings, the God, the Creator of all things. We are openly welcomed into His presence. That's an amazing thing to think about. We get to go to our Heavenly Father boldly. We get to go to Him confidently. Why is that? It's because we are in His Son, Jesus. Here's the amazing thing. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, literally transfers the sonship of Jesus onto us. He calls us His children because you and I are in His Son, Jesus. We get to be loved and cared for as a father cares for his own. We get that from the Creator of all things. We get to call Him Father. That's an amazing thing. And it happens because you're in Jesus. Then we see the transformation of our relationship with Jesus Himself. Jesus, the beloved Son of God, calls us His friends. This is an amazing thing. He gives you the unconditional love that no matter what, in good times or bad, when things are going well, when things are going hard, whether you're doing well or doing bad spiritually, He calls you His friend. He loves you. He's there for you. And He loves you so much, He displays it in the absolute ultimate way, the greatest display of love that a person can have for, the person can display to another friend, and that is He laid down His life for you. This is an amazing thing. Both in His death on the cross, and even now, as He lives in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, Jesus continually displays the ultimate display of love to you as His friend. You are the friend, the close friend of the King of Kings. That's an amazing thought. So we have the father-child relationship that is given to us through salvation. We have the friend relationship that we have through Jesus, the Savior of all mankind, the King of Kings. And today we're going to look at a third relationship that is now yours because of who you are in Jesus. It's the relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit. Later on in this series, we're going to look at a couple of different ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us because we are in Jesus. But today, I really want to focus in on the aspect of a role that the Holy Spirit has as it specifically relates to your salvation. What role does the Holy Spirit have in your salvation because you are in Jesus? And we're going to do that by looking at one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, this is such an amazing chapter. We're going to read a few verses of this before we get to the main text that we're going to look at, just so you and I have a better understanding of what we're getting ready to walk into. What's the context of the passage? So Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 7 and work our way down to verse 14. And here's what it says. And I'll kind of walk through it a little bit as we go through this, all right? Verse 7 says, in whom? Well, who is this whom? It's in Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And we're going to look at this actually next week, what it means to have the redemption of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Kind of reveals that, ties in with how our friendship with Jesus is, right? A little bit, how he reveals the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Man, it comes over again and again, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Again, even in Christ. In whom? In who? In Christ. In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. And we're going to look at this later too. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we, speaking of the Jews here, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye, again in Christ, ye, this time referring to the Gentiles, us basically, right? In whom ye, Gentiles, us, we also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? It's the gospel, the good news of your salvation. In whom, in Christ, also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So in these last two verses, verses 13 and 14, we find that because we are in Christ, we've put our faith in Christ, in Jesus, the effect of that, one of the things that happens is we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who was promised to us by Jesus himself. He describes it in verse 13, that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus himself promised the Holy Spirit to us. Remember, we were having this conversation. We were looking at the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples before he was about to be crucified. Basically, John 14, 15, 16, right around there, where he's having this intimate conversation with his disciples about what's to come, his death, his burial, his resurrection, even things after that. And in this conversation, Jesus promises to his disciples, as well as to us, that he will bring the Holy Spirit to us. In John 16, verse 5, this is what it says, 5 through 8. It says, but now I go my way to him that sent me. Jesus is describing his departure. None of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. See, the Holy Spirit has several roles, right? One of them is convicting people of their need for a Savior. And if you have not trusted in Jesus yet, recognize the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals to you that you need Jesus. He reveals your heart to you and expresses and visibly displays your need to have forgiveness, to have that redemption that Jesus gives to you. The Holy Spirit, one of that roles that the Holy Spirit has is to show you that you need Jesus. And if you have not trusted in Jesus yet, I beg you today, put your faith, put your trust in Jesus. Let's look at our passage in Ephesians again, because it tells us something very important. It says, in whom ye also trusted. This is what happens when we trust in Jesus. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, we find the next role of the Holy Spirit, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is our seal. He is our guarantee. He is our assurance that everything that the Father promises will be ours. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? What's he talking about? What does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Let's start first by looking at the word sealed. What does it mean to be sealed? Well, in Japan, where I live, we have a very similar practice of using seals. We call them inkons or hankos. If you live in Japan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those little stamps, those inkons. And we use inkons for different things. One of them being like we authenticate forms, right? Forms that we fill out. Like if we're verifying that we are the ones filling out the form or that the information on that form that we have written out is actually correct. We put that inkon on there to verify that. Or that we agree to the contents of a contract or something along the lines of that, right? I remember when we first bought our house, we had this meeting with the banker, you know, to get our loan and everything. And in the process of buying the house and getting the loan set up, man, I had to put my inkon on so many forms, probably 30, 40 forms. I was just hitting that inkon over and over. And I remember thinking, man, my wrist is going to be sore after this, you know, because of how many times I had to put my inkon, my seal, verifying all of the things that we were getting ready to purchase. In the Bible times, that seal had a very similar purpose, right? For example, a king might put his seal on a letter. And by putting his seal on the letter, he was basically saying, the only person who can open this letter is the person to whom it's addressed. When the person reads the letter, he has a verified seal saying this came from the king. So he knows that the contents of the letter is authentic, that it's real, that it's really written by the king, and it's an authentic letter from the king, right? We also put a seal on things. One of the things that they did was when they shipped something from one place to the next, after it was all tied up and compiled together, whatever those goods are were often sealed by the owner to verify that it was his goods, right? And so nobody else could claim that that was theirs because it already had a seal of ownership on the goods. It's kind of like how we did it back in the States where we would put a brand on cattle, right? That brand would verify that this cattle belonged to the owner, which owner it belonged to, right? It basically helped people prevent other people from stealing the cattle because their brand was already on it, right? Another way that a seal was used was to protect something. You remember when Jesus was crucified and then they put him in a tomb? The religious leaders asked asked Pilate, "Hey Pilate, we don't want anybody to steal the body of Jesus and then say he rose again, right? So, can you put guards there and then can you seal the tomb, that seal, the protection?" Basically, when Pilate's seal was on that tomb, it was saying, my seal is on here. This is off limits. Don't touch this. Don't mess with this tomb. Otherwise, you will face my wrath, right? The seal protected the tomb from anybody trying to steal the body of Jesus. Of course, we know that the body of Jesus didn't need to be stolen, right? So in that context, the seal is very similar. God's seal on us is very similar to what the Bible describes or how the seal was used in the Bible. First, his seal verifies that we belong to God, that nobody else could claim us. Or first, let me describe this. His seal declares that our salvation is genuine. Remember the king with his letter and how that seal verified the authenticity of the letter, that it was a genuinely written from the king? In the same context, our salvation, because of the seal that God has put on us, declares that our salvation is authentic. It's genuine. We have the hope that we have in Jesus is authentic because God has verified it with his seal. The future hope of our inheritance, the confident assurance of our redemption is the real deal because God put his seal, he put his ink on us. He also verifies, his seal on us also verifies that we belong to God. Nobody else can claim us. And it's literally what Jesus says in John 27 through 29. This is an interesting passage. I love this passage. This is what Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Kind of like cattle ownership, kind of like that. These are my sheep, right? These are my cattle. These are my sheep. That's us, right? And in verse 28 and 29, he claims that ownership on it. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then in verse 29, he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Basically saying he's more powerful than anybody. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus is giving us a double guarantee. Nobody is going to take us out of Jesus' hands, and nobody is going to take us out of the Father's hands. This is so helpful for us because it says this, our salvation is not based on whether or not we can hold on to Jesus, but rather it is based on the fact that Jesus has the ability and the power to hold on to us, and that the Father has the ability and the power to hold on to us. This is what seals, puts the ink on our salvation. This is literally one of the ways that the Father protects us. He seals us to protect us. Don't mess with my child. My seal is on him. Any demonic force knows that you are protected by God. And if you mess with us, if you mess with one of God's children, you will face the wrath of God himself. We are untouchable. That's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? Because we are sealed with the seal of his protection. The seal that God seals us with, the inkon, is the Holy Spirit. His presence in you is the proof that God's promises for you are genuine, that you truly belong to him, and that you are fully and completely protected by God. The Holy Spirit's presence in you verifies that. Basically, the Holy Spirit is like a living seal, a living inkon in your heart that continually affirms to you that you are a genuine child of God. This is what it says in Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 15 through 17 says this, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit, that seal, the spirit of adoption, giving us the opportunity, the privilege to call the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, we get to call him Papa. We get to call him Daddy. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is our seal, proclaiming and confirming that we really are the genuine children of God. Oh, isn't that so cool? Verse 17, it keeps going on. It doesn't stop. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the Holy Spirit confirms that we are God's children and thus his heirs. And this is the second aspect of how the Holy Spirit seals us. He affirms all of these things by being our down payment. You know how I was talking about buying a house? When you buy a house, usually you have to put down a down payment on it, right? The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance, our future. We're going to go over this a lot more in detail later on. We're going to talk about what it means to have an inheritance, to be heirs in Christ later on as we talk about our hope in Jesus. But for now, let me give you just a brief glimpse of what's to come and how the Holy Spirit is deeply connected to our hope, our inheritance of our future by being our seal, our inkon. Remember Ephesians 1:14, verse 14, our main passage? It says this, which is, the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of promise is the earnest of our inheritance. That earnest is describing the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until it becomes ours unto the praise of His, of God's glory. This is how 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 21 and 22 describes this very same concept. He says, 21, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. This is God who's doing all this for us in Christ, which is what? Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. He's talking about the down payment of our heavenly home, right? And later in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, where we're at right now, in chapter 5, he describes it in more detail, and this is how he says it. Verse 1 and 2 says this, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, basically like a tent, if this tent, our temporary bodies, For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle or tent, which is basically describing our temporary bodies, right? If it were dissolved, we have a building of God and house. Our future, this is talking about a future eternal bodies, right? And he compares it with a tent as opposed to a house, right? This house is not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. And to be honest, this verse 2, for in this we groan, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So in this passage, he's comparing the differences between tenting, basically the temporary tent of our home here on earth, as opposed to the eternal home of our future in heaven. This is so interesting. It's basically like right now we're camping. to give you like a brief description, we're roughing it a little bit because we're just tenting right now. This is tent life right now. But eventually we'll get to be able to be in our grand and glorious home in Christ, right? This is what he says in verse 5, just a few verses down. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit. What does this do for us? Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, in this temporary tenting lifestyle, we are absent from the Lord, meaning we're not where we're going to be yet. So we have confidence in that. The Holy Spirit is the down payment, the guarantee that our inheritance is real. He is the seal that confirms to us that we genuinely belong to God. We are safely in His hands and we are His forever. That's so cool. And this is what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, because you are in Christ. Isn't that amazing? What confidence this gives us. What assurance that this gives to us, that the Holy Spirit actively assures us of the fact that we belong to God, that we are genuinely His, and that we are protected by Him. But before we close, I think it is important that we ask one question, which is, how do I know that the Holy Spirit lives in me? And this is important, right? Because if you don't know the Holy Spirit lives in you, what assurance do you have that His seal is on you? This is a very important thing to think about. Now, it's true that you and I cannot see Him with our physical eyes, but we can see or feel the effects that the Holy Spirit's presence has on our hearts, right? just as you and I can't see the wind, but we can still see the effect of the wind, we can feel the wind on our face, so also we can feel the effects of the Holy Spirit on our hearts. So what are those effects? How do we know? What do we look for? What do we see? Well, let's think about some of these different aspects, the effects of the Holy Spirit in our heart. This isn't all-inclusive, but this will give us just a general idea of how you and I can see whether or not the Holy Spirit really is in our hearts, whether we have the seal of the Holy Spirit on us. First, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth of God's word, right? As you study the Bible, this is really good to know. As you study the Bible, are the truth of God's words becoming more and more clear to you? Are they becoming clearer to you so that, oh, this is what he's talking about. Oh, this is amazing. Oh, this is what God is talking about. Wow, praise God. This is amazing. Are those things happening to you as you read God's word and as you are blessed by it? Another thing that the Holy Spirit does, we saw this earlier, is he convicts you of sin in your heart. And he also molds your heart into the image of Jesus. Are you being convicted of sin in your life? When you sin, does the Holy Spirit convict you? Hey, you ought not to be doing that. This isn't what pleases your Heavenly Father. Are you seeing your heart gradually being changed by him? One of the ways we see that heart change is by the fruit of his Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit being evidenced, being shown, being growing into our hearts, right? These fruits are like love, like joy, like patience, gentleness, faith, all of these different fruits of the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing them being produced in your heart? Are you seeing more of that in your life? Another way is, here's another way. Are you seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit that enable you to serve and build up your brothers and sisters in Christ? You see, the Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts. And are you seeing those spiritual gifts played out in your life and to see how God is using you to help your brothers and sisters in Jesus? These are all, in so many other ways, evidences that the Holy Spirit is living in your heart. It's a few of the effects, like the wind blowing on your face and you feel it. And you say, oh, there's that wind right there. Oh, it feels good, right? Right now it's cold, so you feel it like, that's terrible. But but when you do feel the wind on your face on that warm summer breeze, oh, it feels so good, right? And the same way, when you feel the effects of the Holy Spirit on your heart, like, oh, wow, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching me this. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for molding me. Wow, Holy Spirit, thank you for convicting me. I needed that. All of these ways are evidences of wind on your face, the Holy Spirit in your heart. So when you do sense those moments of the Holy Spirit's evidencing, obviously, clearly working in your heart, remember also that it is an incon, an evidence of a seal, an incon in you. It is the Holy Spirit confirming in you that you are a genuine child of God, that you belong to your Father, and that you are fully protected by him. This assurance that you have is fully yours and only yours because you are in Christ. What an amazing thing. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. What an amazing thought. Thank God again for all of the many ways in which he blesses you and cares for you because you are in Jesus. If you are not in Jesus yet, if you have not put your faith and your trust in Jesus yet, do it today. There are so many things that are yours because of the goodness of Jesus in your life. One of those things we saw today is the seal of the Holy Spirit on you, proving and assuring to you that you are a genuine child of God, that you are loved by him, that you are protected by him, that you belong to him. What an amazing thing to have. It's yours because you are in Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for all of the blessings that you have given to us through Jesus. and only through him. What an amazing thing. Jesus, thank you so much for making all of this possible by dying on the cross for us, by rising again, and by even now sitting at the right hand of God, caring for us, interceding for us in all of these different ways. Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us, for teaching us, for guiding us, for giving us wisdom, and all of the other ways in which you clearly show that we are really and truly the sons of God himself. Wow, thank you so much. Help us to live confidently in assurance of that. Help us when we see those evidences of your conviction in our hearts, or you're teaching us the spirit of truth, or you're teaching us the truth of God's words, or you showing evidence of your fruit growing in us. Help us to see that and respond to that in assurance, saying this is the sign that I belong to God. This is the sign that I am protected and that I am his, an authentic child of God. When we see evidence of you in our lives, you bearing testimony that we are the children of God. Thank you so much for the amazing role that you play in our lives each and every day. We love you, Jesus. We are so thankful for how you care for us. And it's in your name I ask all these things and thank God for all these things. Amen.